To use a rather commonplace illustration, it is the distinction between conception and birth. Now, having said that, I want to introduce you to an exotic concept, and that is a belief in the Hindu tradition . I'll give it to you in Tamil, in which I heard it. I haven't come across this thing in any other language. Rishi garbham rattangadu. When a woman conceives a child of a rishi, I don't know if this can be translated. Rishi is a rishi. He's a sage, an enlightened one. The child will be born before daybreak, almost instantaneously. So that the duration between conception and childbirth could be anything from 2 hours to 2,000 years. On the other hand, you have a story in the Bhagavatam where it's a cancellation of what I said a minute ago. Where a woman called Diti conceives twins of her own husband who was a sage. And it's a funny story, it's not important. Because she suspected that the twins would be diabolical, demonic, it is said that she held the fetus for as long as she could, which was 1,000 years. She refused to deliver. It's a stupid thing. Once it is there, you've got to deliver it. Why not sooner or later? So, now again, perhaps this merely illustrates the beautiful question. What is the distinction between how long does it take after baptism to have the Pentecostal experience? Maybe half an hour. Maybe 6 years. Maybe 3 years. Maybe 6 years. Maybe 25,000 years. But one thing is certain. If the baptismal experience was an experience and not a mere formality, it acts like the conception and must have a new birth. Reversely, not conversely, reversely, if there is no baby, it means there was no conception. It's quite obvious, simple, as simple as that. So, if there was no Pentecostal experience following, that means the baptismal thing was only a formality. A bit of humanly produced rain. Yeah, it is showering, sprinkling off. Slightly out of context, but a story which Dr. Rogin Thompson knows, so yeah, they still appreciate it. It's an enjoyable story of ineffectual baptism. The person who told me the story said it with a glint of truth in his eyes, maybe. In a small village let's say in Mauritius, there were two Chinese shopkeepers. One was a Catholic and the other was Chinese, whatever his religion was. And the Catholic priest would take every opportunity in his sermon of promoting the Catholic shopkeeper's business. Tell the people, you know, he is our brother, you must support him. He is our brother, he is one of us, so you must support him. And this other fellow saw droves of people going only into that shop, even though he had the same things or even better things. Nobody was looking at him. So one day, he caught hold of one of these customers and said, "Why don't you buy from me? Why do you go to him?" "Oh," he said, the father says that we must patronize him and not you." "What's the difference?" "The difference is that he is a baptized Christian and you are not." "Oh," he said, "oh." This man went to the priest, knelt at his feet and said, "Father, I would also like to be baptized." And, "Oh," he said, "welcome, welcome. It's beautiful. But Father, just one thing. I'll get baptized, but please will you ask your people to come and patronize me instead of the other chap?" "Of course. Sure." You know the story of the parable of the lost sheep. "Naturally, you're more precious to us than all the other Christians in the village. Rest assured, I'll do exactly what you suggest." "Good, Father. This Sunday. But please tell me, what are the rules? When I become a Christian, what should I do? What should I not do?" He says, "Quite simple, very simple. I'll make it very simple for you. Three things on 3 days. Fridays, don't eat meat. You can have fish, but don't eat meat. Saturday, come to the confession. Sunday, attend the Mass. Communion, take communion, that's all." "Oh, that's good, very good." Then he was led into the church, and after whatever ceremony there was, the priest took some water and splashed it on him. He was called Achuang. And he said, "You are no longer Achuang, you are Albert. You are no longer Achuang, you are Albert. You are no longer Achuang, you are Albert. Go." "Good." He went away and the priest kept his word and told everybody to go and patronize this chap, Albert. He is no longer Achuang, he is Albert. Go and promote his trade. Well, naturally, there were only 100 people. Either they went there or they went here. So when this man's trade went up, that man's trade went down. He went to the priest and asked him, "What is the joke?" He said, "Brother, you must be patient for a little while. You know, our Lord has said that the one lost sheep is more precious for the shepherd than all the 99 that were not lost. So he is the lost sheep which has been joined our fold. So please bear with us and eventually your business also will come up." No trader is satisfied with that sort of explanation. Business is business. One day's business lost is one day's business profit lost. No. "God, I must get this chap, whatever happens." One Friday, he was the original Christian Chinese Christian, was sniffing around the new one. And sure enough, he saw, he smelled meat being cooked. "Oh," he said, "got him." He straight went to the priest and he said, "What sort of Christian did you make? He is eating meat on Friday." "Oh no, I told him strictly not to do so. He said, okay, you can go and check. And so, the Reverend Father was a bit upset. He went towards this new convert's house, knocked, and the smell of meat was overpowering. He knocked. And Albert opened the door and fell on his knees and said, Mon père, please come, welcome. He said, I told you not to eat meat on Fridays. Oh, I don't eat meat on Fridays. No, never. He said, what a rascal, you're telling lies. He thought it. He said, oh, I'll prove it to him. So went straight into the kitchen. And there was meat on the oven. He said, what is this? Oh, no, it is fish. He said, horrible chap. He said, no. Of course, it was meat. I put it there on the plate, took some water. You are not meat, you are fish. And precisely three times. If that is the baptismal situation, you will stay exactly where you were without any Pentecostal experience. How long does it take between the two? No one can say. It depends upon the sincerity, the intensity of application, and over and above all, grace. Who or what determines grace and how it's had, no one knows. No.
Would you institute Pentecostal experience the same as enlightenment?
That's what I heard you use it. I have really no idea what it means.
I think Pentecostal means the descent of just the Holy Spirit.
That's enough.
That's what happens.
That's enough.
They speak in tongues and healing.
That's the effect of the Pentecostal experience.
But that's not really enlightenment.
Never mind about all that. Descent of the Holy Spirit is enlightenment.
But then it's not a single thing, it's a process.
It's a process in the sense that it is an ongoing, unending experience.
It's not one single bang.
Maybe, but it's still an unending experience. One single bang, but it can go on. You give birth to a baby, but it continues to harass you for the rest of your life and her life.
Well, then it looks like if the Bible rendition of the baptism of Jesus, it looks like a simultaneous event for Jesus.
Good. That is a Rishi Garbham, I told you.
Entry in the water and the dove descending.
Good. That is, I gave you the first example of Rishi Garbham. Where the conception takes place, immediately there is a birth. It is said also of Vyasa. Vyasa was also supposed to have been conceived and delivered almost simultaneously by his mother. And he was born of another great sage called Parashara. Why not?
But once this experience has happened, can you lose contact with it or not?
Are you a mother? Yes? You have given birth to a child? And you don't become a virgin now? Hope not. But, can she, the mother of two teenage daughters, can she fall asleep now and dream that she is a little girl of 5? She can.
So you can turn away from that.
No, sorry.
You can?
I'm this is, it's not all that explicit. You can a brilliant lady with a doctorate in marine biology become temporarily insane or drunk?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm sure it's happened more than once.
That's all. That's all. It is not turning away. It is not really turning away. It's probably closing one's eyelids and, you know, it's too much dust in the eyes. Once you are in it, you are in it. That may be another interpretation of the passion and the final temptation where, was it Peter? Somebody says, why not escape this? Why not? He turns to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan, you are tempting me to turn away from the will of God. No. Once you are on the track, you keep going. You may fall asleep on the way. You may get on board the plane at Perth Airport, bound for Mauritius. You fall asleep on the way, but you will still go to Mauritius. Even though you may be dreaming of America. Because the Pentecostal experience is thus related to the creation of man. And it's also very beautiful if you study these two together. Your Genesis says that God created man and breathed into him, and he became a living soul. This living soul, which is obviously none other than the breath of God, correct? Otherwise you are the potatoes. You are merely a bag of recycled potatoes. Except for the fact that God's breath is in you, moves in you. But somehow it is forgotten, and there is an illusory in the sense of an experienced individuality, correct? Which can neither said to be real nor unreal. There is a temporary forgetfulness of the fact that this is born of the earth, made of the earth, same substance as the earth, and whatever is living is the breath of God, originally breathed into Adam. But there is this, again I use the word illusory in that sense of indefinable, feeling that I am an individual, totally and absolutely separate and different from you, and therefore different from God himself. So that I have to pray to God, I have to meditate upon God and all the rest of it. And then this Jesus comes along and says, he who wants life must lose it. He who wants eternal life must lose his life. What do you mean lose his life? Lose his life. You understand the difference between the written word and the spoken word. In the written word, there is no emphasis. You don't know which word is important, which word is to be emphasized. Unless you lose your life, that's how it is read. Unless you lose your life, you can't gain eternal life. So you are like, must I cut my throat? No. Unless you lose your life, the idea that life is yours, when that is dropped, the original thing suddenly wakes up. And that could be the Pentecostal experience. That could be enlightenment. That is enlightenment, there is no doubt about that. The moment one abandons the idea that this is my life, there is enlightenment. For it is the idea that this is my life that links whatever it is, whether you call it God, cosmic consciousness, Brahman, Atma, Self, Buddha, Christ consciousness, with the thing called body. And makes you feel that this is a body, my body, and so on. When the Holy Spirit, which means the Spirit of God, which means the Spirit that knows, doesn't believe, is not interested in faith, the Spirit that knows descends into you, it takes over, and there is nothing more, no more doubt, no more questioning, nothing. And instantly the shadow of the individuality, which somehow assumed that this is my life is different from yours, when that shadow is dispelled, the true meaning of life as that which is, not just was in the case of Adam, is the breath of God inspired into us becomes apparent, clear. And that is baptism, and this is she is at Pentecostal, or the enlightenment experience. They were simultaneous, instantaneous. But is it possible for this not to be instantaneous? Of course. In which case, it was merely Achuang being turned into Albert for a little while. Nothing has happened. Nothing has happened.
In the case of the yogi in Samadhi, there wasn't.
Yes, sure.
Is this what happens sometimes in the Christian communities when people go through all kinds of emotions and they think the Holy Spirit has descended, but they turn around and call their neighbor evil anyway?
Good. That happens anywhere, in any culture, in any system, any religion, any faith. What is it? Say? The wall that divides the genius from the madman is very thin.
Om Yasatoma Sadgamaya Tapasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Matangamaya.